1 month ago, the White House announced principles for reopening the country. Soon after, governors who felt they weren't getting enough federal guidance banded together to coordinate regional opening plans. Now, the reality is much less coordinated, as our co-host Ari Shapiro found.
Last month, Michigan's Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer told me she'd been in regular contact with governors of Illinois, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Ohio.
We know that COVID-19 doesn't respect party line and it doesn't respect state line, and that's why we've all got to share our best information and move strategically together wherever possible.
Moving strategically together does not reflect what we're seeing today. Businesses and customers are navigating a checkerboard of rules that change as you cross city, county, and state lines. The CDC put out national guidance yesterday, but those are just recommendations. This patchwork is most pronounced in the center of the country. Take Ed Brownell.
The CEO of Spin Concepts, Inc., and we operate 15 Spin pizza restaurants.
Within the Kansas City metropolitan area, some of Ed Brownell's pizzerias are in the state of Kansas, others in Missouri.
The rules up to this point have changed sometimes day to day, but certainly week to week. So that's been very difficult to navigate.
Can you give us just one example of that specifically?
Kansas City, Missouri stores originally were going to open, I don't remember the date, a couple of weeks ago, and they were going to open at 50% capacity. And then the mayor came out and decided he was going to put his own rule in effect, what he's calling the 10-10-10 rule. Basically, we can only allow 10 people or 10% of our total capacity in the restaurant, and if they're there longer than 10 minutes, we have to log their name and contact information.
For contact tracing in case somebody tests positive.
Right, and you know, that's probably the most onerous. From there, it goes down. I mean, some of them are requiring 25% capacity. Some of them are 50% capacity. Gloves and masks, marks on your floor to make sure the guests don't come within 6 feet of each other.
It's ready.
When we talked with him earlier this week, two of his restaurants had just opened that day, but not many people were showing up for lunch.
We got a 14-inch veggie and a 14-inch creole, crab and portobello.
He has 500 employees, and if things don't pick up soon, he's afraid for them and the future of his business.
People need to have the courage to go out and participate and, you know, take the proper precautions. But I think, you know, keeping our head in the sands is not going to do us much good long term. There won't be much to come out to if we keep this going long.
Laura Moore has a different perspective. In Indiana, she and her husband own MDG Salon Studio and the Black Orchid Barber Lounge. The two locations are a short drive from each other.
With traffic 27 minutes, but the two are actually about 13 miles apart.
Catch is, one's in the city of Indianapolis, the other just over the border in Carmel. Carmel has a Republican mayor, and salons and barbershops there are open, as in much of Indiana. Indianapolis has a Democratic mayor, and the outbreak is worse there, so he's keeping salons and barbershops closed. Moore has decided not to reopen either location.
Is opening this soon just to turn a quick buck or two? Is it really worth it? And the answer at the end of the day was no, it's not. So we pushed our date back to June 1st, and there are many salons that followed suit, and we're really proud of that movement.
Is your hope that by June 1st, you'll have more masks, more cleaning supplies? It'll be a safer environment?
Absolutely. Getting supplies that are already on back order or are already being held for first responders or honestly essential industries, it makes it really difficult to protect our team. And that's just not something that we're willing to compromise.
Was there any point when this community of barber and salon owners we're talking about when, as a group, you want to reopen, that you all said to yourselves, we're not epidemiologists, we're not public health experts, this is crazy that we're the ones trying to figure this out for ourselves?
I mean, really, from the beginning, we were like, someone give us some direction here. And it's been pretty cloudy, but we're doing our best to navigate that.
What would you say to barbershops in Hamilton County that reopened on Monday and were full all day?
May the odds be ever in your favor.
To many business owners and customers, this patchwork feels arbitrary and unscientific.
My name's Becky Olson, and I live in Plymouth, Michigan, and I have a two-year-old. I guess I'm the parent of a two-year-old golden retriever named Finn.
Finn needs a haircut. So Becky Olson is going to drive 45 minutes from Plymouth, Michigan, where groomers are closed, to an open groomer in Toledo, Ohio.
The grooming salon we're going to, they've actually told us they've had a ton of people from Michigan call and they're bringing their animals down there to be groomed because they can't get them done here in Michigan.
Do you think people are going to judge you for going to Ohio to have this service that officials in Michigan have decided is not safe to do right now?
But I don't think it's not safe. If people are standing in line at the grocery store, people are going to Target, people are going to Ace Hardware. Bringing my dog to the groomers, to me, if it is a drop-off, someone is picking up the dog from my car, very limited contact, they're going to do the service and bring the dog back to my car, I feel that that is very safe and secure, and I don't feel bad at all going to Ohio. I just feel bad that my groomer is going to lose money from me going to another place.
COVID-19 has disproportionately affected people of color, and Orlando Watson believes the policymakers rushing to reopen the economy are not listening to African Americans like him. Watson owns a St. Louis restaurant called Prime 55. He has cancer, which has compromised his immune system, so he's especially careful. As I talked to him, he was spray painting patio furniture that he hopes to use when the restaurant reopens. Most of Missouri is open. St. Louis restaurants are still closed for now. Watson doesn't know what he's going to do when the time comes.
I've been real cautious and reluctant to get out. This is probably my third time getting out during this whole time, minus going to the doctor. I don't get out much. I don't be around too many people. So
is it like a combination of liberation and anxiety?
Yeah, extreme anxiety.
Do you think that the political leaders are thinking about the African-American community when they make these decisions to reopen?
Of course not. When were we ever considered when policies were made? I mean, I think that at the end of the day, money's going to outweigh safety. There's going to be casualties behind this country not having a better plan in place and really attacking this from day one, you know.
Missouri's Republican Governor Mike Parson says this phased approach to reopening makes sense when you look at where people are getting sick and dying. Here's what he said when I interviewed him last month.
What we did here in the St. Louis region, we knew that we needed to put resources up there, mobile testing sites. But that's not happening in rural areas of the state, and those cases are not there, and they haven't been there.
But many policymakers feel that a public health challenge of this magnitude should have a cohesive national strategy.
There's no question it is not nearly as aligned as what it should be.
Greg Fisher is a Democrat and mayor of Louisville, Kentucky. For the most part, it's closed.
You can see Indiana across the mighty Ohio River.
And Indiana is opening up more quickly.
Indiana's both case rate and death rate is about four times that of Kentucky, while their population is just 50% more. So it's required a lot of discussion and explaining to do.
I wonder whether you feel frustrated at the disjointed approach where one side of the river does one thing, another side of the river does another thing. And this is really what we're seeing all over the country. It's not just Indiana and Kentucky.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bi-state issue. It's more of a national issue. Ideally, we would have a national policy here so that we're all singing in concert as the country right now. So we realize that's not the case. Cities and states are on their own. So we're building that capacity from the ground up. I think we're doing a good job for what we have to work with, but it's too bad we couldn't have a more aligned national strategy around this.
So is that a yes to the frustration question?
That's my frustration.
There are experiments happening all over the country right now. The stakes are high. There is no precedent, and it will be weeks or months until we know the results.